All right, let's talk about an exercise that has a bit of a reputation, the Pilates neck pull. It's often seen as this super tough, maybe even scary core exercise. But here's the thing, that's not the whole story. We're gonna reframe it completely. Forget just building abs, this move is one of the smartest ways to totally re-educate your posture. Ready? Let's get into it. So what is the neck pull, really? Well, it's definitely not about pulling on your neck. Let's just get that out of the way. At its heart, it's a deep dive into spinal articulation, all built around one single powerful idea: length first, then segment. You're gonna hear me say that a lot. It's about creating space and then moving through that space with absolute control. It's a game changer for your posture. Okay, before we even dream of moving, we have to lay the groundwork. The setup is everything. This is where you make the exercise safe and honestly where you make it effective. If you can nail this part, the rest of the movement has a real shot at success. So there are four key things you gotta lock in. First, your legs. They're about hip width and your feet are flexed. Why? Because this helps you anchor down using the back of your legs. Second, your arms and head. Your hands are creating a little cradle for the base of your skull and those elbows are wide. Think wide open chest. Third, your spine is neutral and I want you to feel the back of your ribcage heavy on the floor. And finally, breath. Don't just puff your belly out. Imagine your ribs expanding out to the sides like an accordion. That's your power source right there. I want you to really lock this image in your mind. Your hands are a hammock and your head is just resting in it. It's heavy. There is absolutely zero tugging, zero pulling, zero yanking on the neck. All the work is about to come from deep in your core, not from your arms. Let that head be heavy. All right, foundation is set. Let's get into the movement itself. We're gonna start with the classic, the OG version, the round back neck pull. This is the one you have to understand before you can go anywhere else. So, what's our mission here? It sounds simple, but you know, it's not. The goal is a full segmental curl up and an equally controlled roll down. The keyword there is segmental, like you're peeling your spine off the floor one bone at a time. No momentum, no jerky movements. And the whole time, you're fighting to keep those elbows wide. And this is a big one, keep your feet glued to the floor. So why bother with all this control? What's the payoff? Well, for starters, it's like a software update for your spine. You teach it how to move piece by piece, even when things get tough. It also forces your hamstrings and your core to have a conversation and work together to keep you stable. And maybe the best part, when you do it right, you're actually training your neck to work correctly, letting the deep muscles do their job instead of the big ones that cause tension. So, once you're feeling good with that round back version, we can level up. We're going to add a completely new layer, a new skill, controlling a hinge from the hips while your spine stays bored straight. Here's the twist. You do that beautiful round back roll up to a seated position. But then, instead of rolling right back down, you get as tall as you possibly can, and then you hinge backward from your hips with a totally flat back. It's like you're asking your core to do two completely different jobs in one rep. First, curl you up, and then keep you perfectly stable and long. Let's put these two side by side so you can really see the difference. Neck pull one is all about that deep, scooping flexion, pure spinal articulation. But neck pull two, well, it takes that and adds what we call hip dissociation. That's just a fancy way of saying you're learning to move from your hips without letting your lower back get involved. The challenge shifts from endurance in a curve to incredible stability while you're long. Okay, let's pause for a second because this next part is maybe the most important section of this whole breakdown. This is an advanced move, and being a smart mover means knowing your body, understanding the risks, and learning how to make the exercise work for you. So let's be real for a minute. This move isn't for everybody, or at least not in its full expression right away. Knowing when to modify or even choose a different exercise is not a weakness. It's actually the smartest thing you can do for your body. So who should be extra careful? If you're dealing with something like osteoporosis, that repeated deep curling of the spine is something you'll want to avoid. If you've got any sharp neck or back pain, today is not the day for the neck pull. Regress or skip it. And for my friends with tight hamstrings or cranky shoulders, hey, we've got simple fixes. A little bend in the knees or bringing the arms forward can be a total game changer. All right, let's talk about the number one mistake I see people make. I call it the head yank. You know the moment you're struggling to get up and suddenly your hands stop being a nice hammock and start pulling your head off your shoulders. All that does is create strain and it completely misses the point of the exercise. But don't worry, there's a fix, and it's all about changing where you think the movement begins. Instead of thinking about your head coming up, I want you to think about your sternum, your breastbone, curling down and forward. The movement starts in your torso. And always, always come back to that image, head heavy in the hammock.
Okay, pitfall number two, the flying feet. If your feet start lifting off the floor as you try to roll up, it's like a little alarm bell going off. It's a sign that your deep core muscles have checked out and your hip flexors are trying to do all the work. So how do you keep those feet on the ground? You gotta actively anchor your heels down, really press them into the mat. And if you're still struggling, here's a little secret weapon, a tiny bend in the knees. That little bend helps you find your hamstrings, which act as the perfect counterweight to your core.
So, we've talked about the setup, the variations, the pitfalls, but you know what? It all really boils down to one single golden rule. If you forget everything else I've said today, please remember this one thing.
Here it is. The number one rule is length precedes movement every single time. Before you even think about curling, before you hinge, your very first thought has to be creating length in your spine. Create space. Because movement without that initial length, that's just compression. And we don't want that.
And I want to give you a little mantra you can take with you, something you can actually say in your head. For that round back version, think peel like a sticker. Slow, sticky, one little bit at a time. For the flat back version, think hinge like a door. Strong, stable, and moving from one specific point.
So I'll leave you with this question. We've established that this exercise teaches this incredible principle of finding length before you move. But where else can you use that today? I mean, off the mat. How about before you bend down to pick something up? Or before you slump into your chair at your desk? It's a lesson that can totally change how you move through your entire day. Think about it.